The scripture around which I want to focus this morning is probably a favourite of everybody. Romans 4 and 5, chapters 4 and 5. In fact, the book of Romans is outstanding. What a treatise on our justification. Our justification by faith. But this week, Monday morning in fact, I woke up with some words from Romans 5 and verses 1 and 2 going around and around in my mind. This is what the scripture says. Romans 5 verses 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, or as some translations say, and in fact most manuscripts actually have it, let us have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith. Just say, by faith. By faith. Into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, the part that was going around in my head was, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And I was encouraged to be someone who is standing in the grace, standing in it, being established in it. It was a word in season for me. And I thought, I could preach this. I felt like preaching it then. But I only had one in the audience. And then, just a short time later, Paul contacted me and he said, look, I've got a very full week, and he had a wedding yesterday. I had to work yesterday morning, had a wedding yesterday afternoon, and so on. He said, is there any possibility you could speak on Sunday? I said, yes, and I know what I'm going to speak about. So here we are. So this scripture says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, whenever you see a therefore in scripture, what do? You ask what the therefore is there for. That's what you must do. Why does it? Well, it's a chapter headed. Chapters in the Bible don't mean anything, really. Someone said, someone inserted them when he was riding horseback, reading the old manuscripts. They weren't there in the original manuscripts. So when you come across a therefore, you must go back. You have to go back and say, why is he saying therefore? There's an antecedent to this that brings him to saying therefore. And we discover that Paul is just concluding a wonderful argument through Romans 4 about how Abraham became or was put into right standing with God because he believed him. Not by any works of the law, not by circumcision, not by anything Abraham did, but because God spoke to him and Abraham said, I believe you. And so he became the father of the faithful, as it says. He set the standard way up here. Now, God had to later bring in the law. But above that is this standard running right through to Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith. And so that's what Paul is talking about. And that chapter 4 concludes with these wonderful words, talking about Jesus, who was delivered up, that is, put to death, delivered up for our offences, and was raised for our justification. It's Romans 4:25. We were placed in right standing with God at that moment in time, when Jesus was raised up for our justification. And therefore, he's able to say, therefore, having been justified. So everything he has to say after that is a result of the fact that we have been justified. We have been put into right standing with God. And it happened a long time ago. There's always a ground or a premise following. When there's a therefore, there's a ground or a premise, and following the premise is always the conclusion or outcome. So here's the premise. He was raised for our justification. That's the premise. Put to death for our offences, raised for our justification. And the conclusion or the outcome or the product, if you like, of that follows. So there's a premise followed by a promise. A premise followed by hope. A premise followed by its outcome or its conclusion. One of the things I want us to grasp this morning is that in Jesus, you have been qualified for benefits. We have been made qualified. We qualify for peace. We qualify to be established or to stand. We qualify to hold our heads high in confidence in Him. Even to boast is the word that Paul uses. Now, I want to unpack this a bit this morning. My question then is, as we approach this, am I standing, are you standing in everything that He has already qualified you for? That's a question, isn't it? Am I standing in all that Jesus has actually qualified me to stand in? Now, in this world, advancement, promotion, prospering, getting ahead, whatever we want to call it, usually depends, almost always depends, and is about qualifications. Do you have the HSC? Do you have a university degree or diploma? Do you have a master's or a PhD? Where did you do your training? How much experience have you had? What qualifies you for this job? Now, all of those qualifications, those kind of qualifications, require an effort on your part. They are the result of work done by you. They are works. And through those works, you became qualified. They're based on works. But what about the satisfaction or the completion, if you like, of a qualification that required no effort on your part? That's what we're talking about. You imagine if someone fronted up for a job and the job description said minimum requirement, an MBA, Master of Business Administration. So a guy fronts up and he applies for the job and he gets an interview and they say, so you have an MBA? And he said, well, no, I don't actually, but my older brother has one and he said I could use his. Well, he wouldn't get the job. But in our case, we can use our older brother's qualification. He got it for us. Wow. The qualification that he has gained has been graced to us. An earned qualification carries certain rights and privileges. It opens doors for us, carries some authority. But in our case, we've been qualified by grace for certain things. And if we don't understand that, it can lead us to act as though we still need to qualify. That's a terrible danger that it's easy to fall into. I still need to do enough. But Jesus has done it all. I like to think that somehow it still depends on some merit input from me. But you can't earn what you've already been given or what has already been achieved for you. If we try to do that, we fail to receive it. Now this passage, Romans 5, 1 and 2, it could read like this. This is opening up the meaning of the Greek words. Having been already honoured with your qualification of right standing with God, you are free to go ahead by faith and enjoy his peace of integration, pardon me, as distinct from disintegration, and, in brackets, by faith again, to access your entitlements to both stand erect and to be established in all that accrues as a result of your new position, including head held high confidence. Now that's a mouthful, but that opens it up. And you'll see that some of the Greek words that Paul uses mean exactly that. Having been already honoured with your qualification of right standing with God, you have it. The Greek word, the Greek verb in Romans 5:1, where he says, therefore, having been justified, the Greek verb justified is in Greek grammar aorist passive. Aorist means it happened at a point in time. Aorist is punctilia. It happened at a point in time. Passive voice means you had nothing to do with it. It happened to you. You didn't do it. Aorist passive. It means it happened 2,000 years ago and you were not active in its occurrence. It happened to you and for you. It happened at the resurrection 2,000 years ago. You were placed in right standing with God. You know why? Because he was offered up for our offences and the Father said, he's done it, I accept it, I will raise him. And we were in him, we died in him, and we were raised in him and justified in God's sight. This is astonishing. Hallelujah. You were put into right standing with God all that time ago. And as I've said, the weight of manuscript evidence actually goes on to say, let us have peace. By faith, let us have peace with God. Now, you've been qualified for peace. That's what your justification did. Brought you into peace with God. Made you in right standing with God. So he did what was needed to ensure there was nothing between you and God. I have to receive that. By faith, we have peace with God. You've been qualified for peace. By faith, we have peace with God. Now, I'm suggesting that we read this scripture without forcing the scripture. I'm suggesting we read Romans 5:1 in a way that is slightly different to the way you have always heard it. The way you've always heard it is, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. But if we move the comma, and there's no punctuation in the Greek, and some translators bear this translation out. Let's say it this way. Therefore, having been justified, comma, by faith we have peace with God. Therefore, having been justified, it happened way back then. You have been justified. Therefore, let us by faith have peace with God. The only thing we have to do is believe that it was done and that I am in that peace now. Oh, praise God. Yes, Lord. You've been qualified for peace. By faith, we have peace with God. Peace, of course, is the New Testament. The Greek word is eirene. It is pretty much the equivalent of the Old Testament Hebrew word shalom. And we've talked about what that means before. Shalom means something being satisfied, something being filled, something being complete. Yes, I know it means peace, but that is what peace means. When a debt, in Hebrew thinking, when a debt was paid back, it was shalomed. That's what it means. That's what peace means. When Joshua built an altar to the Lord in the new land, he was instructed to make it of shalom stones, whole stone. Don't break any stone. Make it of shalom stones. That is what shalom intends to convey. Something being brought into or being in soundness and completeness and at peace. When we complete a course of study by effort or training, it brings satisfaction, it brings peace, and people say, well done. Having completed your degree, you now qualify for this job or this pay level or this responsibility. But in our case, we have been qualified by another. All done. Peace with God has been secured. It's now mine to enjoy by faith. So the question is today, is that where you are? Is that where I am? Am I in that peace? Am I taking hold of it by faith? As we sang. At this moment, is there a foment of anxiety? Is there anxiety about what's up there? Tomorrow, next week? What if? What if not? Why? Well, that's not where he wants us to live. By faith, we have peace. Oh, wow, I'm looking down the barrel of, not another week like that, or I know what's coming here. Well, I do, but I'm going to enter it in the peace of God. That's where I have to be, because he's qualified me for it. He's already secured it for me. I must enter it. And if I don't, there's a sense in which, well, not even a sense in which, in fact, I am throwing back at him the qualification he has given me. I'm effectively saying, well, your death and resurrection, it's all well and good, but I want to have some input to this. Maybe it wasn't quite effective enough, and I can put another layer on it. No. And that's why Jesus said, don't allow your heart to be troubled. That's a hard call, isn't it? Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. See, it's faith entering that state of not being troubled by faith. You believe in God, believe also in me. He went on to say in the same chapter, John 14, my peace I bequeath to you. I leave with you. My peace I give you. Now, don't think I give it to you as the world gives. You see? The world gives when you earn it. The world gives when you deserve it. Not as the world gives, he said. I give to you differently. So we've been qualified for peace. We've got to be there. Take hold of it this morning. Take hold of his peace now in this place today, because you have been qualified for peace. We've been qualified to stand. So Paul goes on to say, through whom also we have access by faith again into this grace in which we stand. Histemi, to take a stand, to be established. We were once fallen, but now we stand. Now we stand. Remember Ezekiel's amazing vision, chapter 37 of Ezekiel, of the valley of dry bones. There were valleys like that where armies had fought and hundreds or thousands of people had been slain. The spoil had been taken and the birds came and picked the bones clean. And there were valleys like that of dry bones where battles had occurred. That's what God showed Ezekiel and said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? You know, Lord, he said, prophesy to them, speak to them, speak my word to them. And he did. And the bones took on sinew. In his vision, the bones took on sinew and muscle and then flesh. And then the breath of God came in them and they stood on their feet, a mighty army. We have been made to stand. Once fallen, now standing. Now being established. Now every one of us is vastly different and God intended that to be so. Amen? There's no point in me saying I wish I could be like her. Unless it's in a desire for the sanctification that I see in her or him. That person is so like Jesus that I say, yes, I want to be like him because I see Jesus in them. We are not to do that. What he is about is making each one of us stand as we are, as he made us to be, bringing us into the fullness of who he intended us to be from the very moment of inception. At that moment, he said, I've got in mind a unique, wonderful person who will have this kind of trait and this kind of personality, and I want to develop that and make it into something that brings manifest glory to me. He made us to become a fully operative, sanctified me, a fully operative, sanctified you. Unique, that's your journey in life, becoming that sanctified you, and then being ushered into his presence as that. As I thought about this, it was only one chapter there, verse 24, came to me. His desire is to present you faultless, to present you faultless. The you he always intended. Hallelujah. The you he always intended. That's his desire, and it will be you standing, you erect as the person that he intended you to be, in your full personhood, youhood, if you like, the person that you've always been waiting to meet. That is accessed by faith. We access by faith this grace in which we stand. And then this, we've been qualified to hold our head high and exalt. That's right. Hear the scripture again. Let me just go back to to it, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And the King James, New King James has, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The word is exalt or boast. And what it means is having our head held high. To stand in confidence in Jesus and exalt in the hope of the glory of God. Unashamedly rejoice. But that's also by faith. He's just continuing the sentence on here. We access our peace by faith. We access our standing by faith. We access our head held high confidence by faith. We are qualified for it. We're qualified to hold our heads high in Jesus. There are Christians who mope about and get around as though they're undeserving and they feel as though they've got to wear a hair coat or something. I've seen them. Maybe I've done it sometimes. That's not what we've been called to. That's not what we can access by faith. When Paul said, I will gladly boast in my infirmities because through them Jesus Christ is glorified, that's the word he used. That's the word used here, kalkamai. Head held high in Jesus. So we've been qualified to stand, not with apology, not with diffidence and apology. I'm sorry I'm a Christian, but you know. So head held high confidence in Jesus. Grant it to me, Lord. Unabashed. Unabashed, because we're filled with the confidence that nothing can rob. And the fruit of that confidence is glory to God. It brings glory to him. So 2,000 years ago, every one of us was qualified in Jesus. He did it. He did it. We're qualified to have peace. We take hold of that peace by faith. We're qualified to stand and be established. We take hold of that by faith and move into it. We're qualified to hold our heads high confidently in Jesus Christ, bringing glory and praise to him. It's been done. We can be unabashed and unashamed and be there today by faith. And as I concluded these thoughts, an old hymn came to mind. It's sort of relevant, but for some reason, the words of it kept going around in my heart and I began to sing it to myself. Some will know it, others will not. But let me just close by reading the words of this great old hymn. Very simple words. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise and to know, thus says the Lord. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Saviour, friend, and I know that you are with me, will be with me to the end. And the refrain says, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him, o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Can we pray that today? Grace to trust him more. Let him be in the lead, us following, nothing fearing, nothing doubting, confident, heads held high, and at peace in our hearts with him. Let's pray. Oh, thank you, Lord. We just thank you that it's all been done and we can enter. And we want the glory and the praise, the honour to all go to you.